Jesus, the creator, the light, the life. He came into his world. He came to his nation. He came to his place, his city, his temple. And they did not recognize him, and they did not receive him. Even though for centuries the Jews had predicted and waited for a Messiah to come. And you read the Old Testament, and it's like there's a flicker of light here and a flicker of light there and a trace of light here and a trace of light there. And they get their hopes up. And then it's like the sun itself, the light, comes to the earth.
And welcome to Connect with Skip Weekend Edition. You may not remember, but when you were little, did you have a nightlight in your room? Or did you ever go camping where you wanted to make sure you kept a flashlight near your sleeping bag? You know, just in case you needed it. The dark can be pretty scary for a kid, and light is comforting. Well, when Jesus talks about being the light of the world, it should have the same effect. Should be very comforting. We'll examine that more today with Skip Heitzig. But before we begin, we have an excellent new resource for you this month at connectwithskip.com.
What stands between you and a more fruitful walk with Jesus? Find out how four prominent women in the Bible faced their struggles in a new teaching series from Lenya Heitzig called Queens of the Bible. Here's Lenya on the Queen of Sheba.
Hearing is the first step toward spiritual blessing. Right now, hearing is a step toward blessing. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Hear more from Lenya as she explores the faith and the failings of four different queens in Scripture. The Queens of the Bible collection of teachings is our way of saying thank you when you give $35 or more today to support this Bible teaching ministry.
Look, the cost of following Christ is to go wherever he leads.
Get your copy of these unique teachings when you call 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. connectwithskip.com/offer.
We continue today in John chapter 1. So if you'll turn there in your Bible, we'll join Skip Heitzig for today's study.
Can people look at you and thus through you and see Christ? Or is it just a wall? They see you and that's all they see. Or are you pointing people to the Savior? That's the highest goal one can have, a man or a woman sent from God. So the light was represented by John. But look what happened, verse 9. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. But notice now how the light is rejected. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Did you know that Jesus' whole life is summed up in those two or three verses? Jesus' life was one of rejection. His whole story was the story of rejection. He came into the very world he created, and the world didn't get it. And you know what? They still don't get it. The word know him is the word gnosko, which has the idea of recognition. The Creator came in human form, and they did not recognize him. They didn't connect the dots. I've discovered that if there's one thing this world consistently gets wrong, you know what it is? The identity of Christ. They get that answer wrong all the time. Well, I picture Jesus as just a good man, or I think he was just a wonderful prophet who had a lot of fine things to say. And they'll say a lot of things about Jesus, and they're consistently wrong. And you should not be surprised. It is the story of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In all those four Gospels, there's individuals or there's groups of people who thought certain things about Jesus and they were not right. I'll give you a sampling. In John 7, some said he was just a good man while others said he was a deceiver. They got that wrong. You could push the button. Answer wrong. In Matthew 16, some said he was John the Baptist. Others, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Got the answer wrong, you wouldn't have. In John chapter 6, after Jesus makes them a free lunch, they wanted to take him by force and make him a what? A king. A human, earthly king. A monarch. A dictator. He wasn't that. Luke 23, they called him a tax evader. Imagine Jesus against the IRS. I won't go there. And they said, he is subverting the government. Got the answer wrong there. John chapter 10, they said, he has a demon. Got the answer wrong there. And did you know, in Mark chapter 3, even his own family got the answer wrong. In Mark chapter 3, his mother and his brothers go to Capernaum to take him away because they said, and I quote, he is out of his mind. Got the answer wrong there. Now, nothing has changed. And every year, right about this time, Christmas and Easter, you're going to find these magazines will put out various articles about the true identity of Jesus. It's predictable. It comes every Christmas, every Easter. One of these lame magazines will come out with an article. And were it not so tragic, it would be laughable, this steady stream of what people say Jesus was. I've collected a few of them. Some have written and said, Jesus Christ was a magician who practiced illusion and hypnosis. Others said he was a zealot or a guru or a world traveler. Some believe he was the husband of Mary Magdalene who procreated a secret lineage to rule the world. These are things that make articles in Time and Newsweek magazine. According to the Jesus Seminar, a group out of Arizona who tells you what is really scripture and what is not scripture, said, and I quote, Jesus was probably just an illiterate from a low caste of artisans. John Allegro, a Semitic scholar, wrote a book called The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, and he said, Jesus Christ was not a historical man at all, but Jesus was a code name for a sacred hallucinogenic mushroom allegedly used by the first Christians. Well, that puts a whole new spin on, hey, dude, you want Jesus? A French-Canadian cult said Jesus' resurrection was a cloning performed by aliens who made humans in a laboratory DNA experiment 25,000 years ago. And what do we say to all that? People write articles about this stuff. If there's one thing the world consistently gets wrong, it's who Jesus was. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. But John gets more specific. Look at verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. See, what I think John is doing is saying, okay, generally, you put Jesus in the world, and generally, the world doesn't recognize him, but specifically, his own people, the Jewish nation, didn't receive him. That's what I think he's referring to in verse 11. And here's why. He came into his own. The first word own in that sentence is in the neuter gender, and it refers to things like place or land or home. But the second own in that sentence is masculine in gender, and it refers to people. So it could be literally translated, he came to his own place or nation, but his own people did not receive him. And that's why the New Living Translation renders it that way. Even in his own land and among his own people, he was not accepted. You know what the Jewish Talmud said Jesus was? This is a quote right out of the Talmud. He was the illegitimate son of Mary. The illegitimate son of Mary, whom they fancy Mary, was a hairdresser. Where they got that, I don't know. But it also says Jesus was called Panthera, and he learned magical arts in Egypt and then came to Israel to instigate a rebellion. So you see what John is saying. Jesus, the creator, the light, the life, he came to his world. He came to his nation. He came to his place, his city, his temple. And they did not recognize him, and they did not receive him. Even though for centuries, the Jews had predicted and waited for a Messiah to come, And you read the Old Testament, and it's like there's a flicker of light here and a flicker of light there and a trace of light here and a trace of light there. And they get their hopes up. And then it's like the sun itself, the light, comes to the earth. And John the Baptist goes, that's it. That's the light. Not me. I'm just a preacher. That's the light. And they said, turn off the light. Or in the words of Scripture, crucify him. His blood be on us and our children. That was the response. They hated the light. It was too bright for them. Imagine the very hands that he created were the very hands that picked up nails and a hammer and drove his own hands, those sacred hands, onto a cross. Now, that's going to happen again. It's going to happen again in a few weeks. It's called Christmas. Oh, excuse me, holidays, the winter holidays. You'll hear the debates. They will be on television. Somebody in some city, some public display or decoration, got to take Christ out of Christmas and, you know, just make it about Santa and reindeers and a little snow and gifts and smiles and winter holiday, but take Christ out of that. Or they'll say, well, you can have a manger scene, but just make sure that you just keep Jesus as a little baby. We don't mind the little baby Jesus. We just don't want him to grow up. Because when he grows up, he's very unstable and unpredictable and says things like, you better believe in me because I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm going to a cross to die for the sins of the world. We don't want that Jesus. We just want the little baby one that stays a baby every year and brings good cheer. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And that is the position of the world. And you'll see it over and over again in Believe 879 through the Gospel of John. However, there's good news. The light was represented by John. The light was rejected by most, but the light was received by some. Look at verse 12. But if ever I was glad to see that word begin a sentence, it's right about now. Even though my English teacher said, never begin a sentence with the word but, I'm so glad that John the Apostle didn't go to my English class. Because this little conjunction, negative conjunction, is a huge fulcrum that shifts it now a whole nother direction. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or literally power or authority, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Do you notice how John goes from very wide to very narrow, from very general population to individual person? You know, he talks about the world, first of all. And the world didn't recognize him. And then he came to his own people, the Jewish people, and they didn't receive him. But now to the individual, but as many as received him. In other words, anyone, any individual. So from wide to narrow. I think what he's saying could be summed up in this. The world didn't want him. His own people didn't want him. Hey, do you want him? Do you want him? As many as received him, he gave them the power to become his children. The world didn't want him. His nation didn't want him. Hey, do you want him? Because if you want him, you know what? You have to receive him. As many as received him. That's another word for believe. Grammatically, they're appositional terms. One means the other. To receive Christ is to believe in him. It's more than intellectual, yes, I believe God exists and he had a son named Jesus. I believe that up here. The idea is to receive it, to make it personal, to make it personal, to surrender, to commit. You know, sort of like a gift. If you get a gift this Christmas, it's not really your gift until you receive it. You have to take the gift, open it up, and it's yours. If it just sits in the closet, unopened, unreceived, it's really not your gift yet. You have to receive it. Same with Christ. You have to receive him. Now, something, I know it's obvious, but we should note this. Notice that you're not born a child of God. You become a child of God. As many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You don't get born a Christian, you get born again a Christian. Born of God is what it says in the next verse. I'll tell you why this is important. This becomes the issue today. Because the prevailing belief system is this. It's called the fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. We're all children of God. Everybody in the world's a child of God by creation. Now, that may be good on Oprah. That is Oprah theology. But it is not biblical theology. You're a child of God not by creation, but by redemption. You receive Christ, and you have the right, the power to become God's children. Verse 13 spells it out. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It doesn't come by bloodline. Remember the Jews, some of them tried that? They said, well, we have Abraham as our father. And they tried it with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, now I know what you guys are thinking. You guys are thinking, well, you're children of Abraham. You have this right of salvation by birth. But you ought to know something, John the Baptist said. God can make children of Abraham out of these rocks. He was very direct. And yet, you can ask people today, well, hey, are you a Christian? Well, sure. I was born a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. My parents are strong Christians. It's not what I ask you, and you didn't answer my question. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. You're not born. You're born again into his family. You become a child of God, and you do it by believing, by receiving. So there's two possible responses to the light. The sunlight shines. And one response is the majority response, and it's the wrong response. The second response is the minority response, and it's the right one. Have you ever stopped to think that the majority is not right? Ooh, I know that sounds so un-American. But the majority is wrong. I want you to consider what John the Apostle wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. I'll quote it for you. We are of God, dear children, and we know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So is the world, by and large, right about Jesus? Nope. The minority. Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and most people enter therein. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and very few enter therein. His words. So the light has come. John represented him. Most of the world rejects him, but some will receive him. Some will receive him. And Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. I heard a story about a man who lost his car keys. When I first read it, I thought it was somebody writing about me. But this guy lost his car keys. I do it all the time. And he's looking for them outside on the street, under the street light at night. He's looking for his keys. His neighbor sees what's going on, feels sorry for him, goes out to help him. They search for about 20 minutes until the neighbor finally says, now, do you remember exactly where you dropped your car keys? Because we've been looking for 20 minutes. And the guy said, yeah, I lost them in the garage. You lost them in the garage? What are we doing looking for them out here? And the guy said, well, the light's better out here. Well, I have a hunch that some of you here today, you don't exactly know where or when you lost your way, but you lost your way. You've come here because the light's better. The light's better here. You're around people who enjoy and bask in the light of Jesus, and they love him, and you feel it, and you love to come. But there's a step that must be made, a single step out of darkness into sunlight, S-O-N light. And all I've done is give a message. I've just been a man pointing to the light. I can't save anybody. I can't help anybody. I had a lady come up to me the other day and she said, oh, I just want to thank you for saving me. And I said, I appreciate what you're saying, but I save no one. I've been saved. Jesus will save. And friend, he will save you. He will enlighten you. He will make your way clear, crystal clear. But it comes by believing in and thus receiving the gift personally.
And if you'd like to talk with someone about how to do that, we'd be happy to explain to you what it means to receive the gift of God's grace. It comes through doing exactly what our current series is titled, Believing. If you'd like to believe in Jesus and all he's done for you, but aren't sure what that really means or what it should look like, please don't hesitate to call us at 1-800-922-1888. And we're almost out of time for today, but before we go, here's Skip and Lenya to talk a bit more about what the purpose of our current series is.
So we're getting started in this new series on the book of John. We call it Believe 879. Why do you call it that?
Because there's 879 verses in the Gospel of John, and the core theme is believe, that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing, you would have life in his name.
So, you know, if you were having a struggle with your faith or doubt or questions, the Gospel of John's a great place
to land. We usually steer people in the direction of the Gospel of John as their first Bible book that they read because of that reason. It's simply put, it exalts Christ, it presents him as God in human flesh, his sacrifice, God's plan, and it increases people's faith.
In it, we get, of course, Jesus. The Gospels, that's what's so great, is, you know, just give me Jesus. And it's an opportunity. I mean, it's not that the whole Bible isn't about God or the Messiah coming, but just spending a saturated amount of time studying the Messiah and Jesus, I find so exciting.
I'm glad you said that, because I felt it exciting as well. The reason I wanted to do it is for that reason. What would it be like to saturate myself and as a church saturate ourselves for a prolonged period of time in the Gospel of John with just looking at the life of Jesus? Well, it took us 2.5 years to do that, but it was so rewarding for that purpose. We were able to take every single paragraph and exegete it and apply it and set up sort of mile markers along the way and say, this is where we've come from, this is where we're going. But the result of that, I believe, is a faith-filled church, that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And not only that, but it increases the amount of spiritual life we enjoy, that by believing you would have life in his name. And then that life is reproductive, all life is. And so we've seen people bring their friends, bring their relatives, and the Lord reproduces life through their lives.
It's neat because in the book of John, there's so many of those I am statements, too. So he is revealing himself that I am the light, or I am the shepherd, or I am
the bread of life.
Yes. And so I love that it's an opportunity for him to express who he is. Mm. And so anyway, it's exciting. I can't wait to hear about the fruit of the listeners as they go through Believe 879.
If you'd like to get a copy of today's teaching, it's available for just $4 plus shipping when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit our website, connectwithskip.com. Be sure to come back and join us again next time as we continue with our series through the book of John called Believe 879. Right here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.